Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: the foolishness of the preaching of the gospel of God. Chapter 2. The foolishness of the gospel being offered through preaching. 1 Corinthians 1, 17-24. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, we preach Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Or 1 Corinthians 1:21. For after that in the wisdom of God the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Mark 16:15. And he said to them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Although the text of 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21, is presented in some translations related to the foolishness of what is preached and in others to the foolishness that God chose to offer his gospel through preaching, we would like to address in this chapter the second aspect. Although the content of what is announced as the offer of the gospel is considered foolishness by those who reject the gospel and also as foolishness by those who want to rely on human wisdom or evidence based on signs in the natural world, generally referred to as the Greek and the Jew, we understand that the strategy of God to offer his gospel through preaching, as the text of Mark 16 similarly shows us, is also the target of being considered by many people as foolishness, something despicable, or of doubtful effectiveness. In the text of 1 Corinthians quoted above, we see that Paul begins his approach pointing out to the fact that he was called to preach the gospel and that it is regarding the continuity of this action, as well as to the fidelity to the content that he should preach, that he was putting the focus of his vocation. And although the action of preaching the gospel of God may seem like a weak thing to human beings, God chose the foolish things of this world so that our hope and faith are not channeled into the things of the world or highly elaborated human strategies, but so that our faith and hope are in the Lord, who is mighty to act and provide salvation also from what seems to be weak from the natural perspective or as a not very effective strategy. Therefore, understanding that the gospel of the Lord and the preaching of the gospel are distinct aspects is vital for us to know the role of each of these aspects, for although salvation and eternal life are essentially in the eternal gospel, which is primarily Christ offered to save us, to dwell in us, and for us to be in him, it is through the preaching of the gospel that a person is informed of the fact that one can come to believe in the gospel of God and can come to receive what is offered to him or her through the gospel. The work of announcing the gospel or preaching it is undoubtedly a central means through which God has determined that people may come to believe in Christ and, thus, to receive what God offers them through the Lord Jesus. The lack of understanding that it is through the preaching of the gospel that it pleased God to announce salvation to the world so that those who believe in this gospel may be saved, or the lack of understanding of what the preaching of the gospel is, has led and still leads many people to deviate from the primary strategy that God established to communicate about his gospel to human beings and to offer salvation to the world. God has confirmed the preaching of the gospel with signs and wonders countless times, and God can continue to confirm the preaching of the gospel in this way. However, This does not change the fact that preaching itself is the essential means for people to come to know the gospel and come to believe in it for salvation, as also exposed in the following text. Hebrews 2:1-4. Therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will? When people start to think that it is primarily the signs that make human beings believe in the gospel and not the preaching of the gospel itself or the word about the gospel, they begin to want to make use of gospel communication strategies that have not been established by the Lord to be used in this way. Calling people to events that propose to heal, entertain, or do wonders for people to come to Christ may run the risk of trying to reverse the order established by God for the proclamation of his gospel, for God has established that salvation shall be announced through the preaching of the gospel, which may or not be followed by external signs. Thus, the proclamation of the gospel does not need to be preceded or governed by outward signs to be preached later or so that its truthfulness is proved. The announcement of the offer that God makes through his gospel is confirmed by preaching, and God may complement the proclamation of the gospel with testimonies of signs, wonders, and miracles distributed by the Holy Spirit. However, even if the Lord does not carry out natural or external manifestations together with the preaching of the gospel, the saving power of the gospel is in no way diminished, just as in no way the lasting benefit that only the gospel of God can provide is reduced. Romans 1:16-17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Who saves a person is God through the offer of his gospel, and a person is saved through the gospel if one believes in the God who offers him or her salvation whether or not external signs accompany the preaching. And it is not the signs that save a person, but the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What God needed to do to prove his love for us has already been done and is available to everyone who believes. And if God still does other extraordinary external signs or miracles, glory to God for his goodness and mercy. However, the absence of these signs cannot be seen as a valid impediment that supposedly could be used as a justification for a person not to come to believe in Christ Jesus. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 10:4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. The eternal proof of God's eternal love for each human being has already been publicly exposed before humanity on the cross of Calvary. This proof does not need signs and supplements to keep it valid, even though God, out of mercy, answers the cry of many people also in their most varied requests for external interventions. 1 Corinthians 1:18-22-24. For the message, or word, of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved it is the power of God. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, we preach, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. When those who claim to be announcers of the gospel of God no longer believe that it is through the simple preaching of the words of the gospel that people can come to believe in Christ, they are liable to get lost in the craziest or supposed strategies of evangelism that they seek to elaborate and through which they seek to attract the target audience they want to reach. when the simplicity of preaching the gospel is no longer enough, people also start to get involved in exaggeratedly expensive strategies, as well as start to get involved in the strategies to raise funds for the accomplishment and support of their own plans and not the plans of God. Nevertheless, if the Lord Himself defined that the preaching of the gospel is an expression of His wisdom, who is the human being to say that this strategy is too simple or lacks better elaborated or more strategic aspects? The Lord Himself has already instructed us that His strategy of proclaiming the gospel may come to be seen as a scandal or foolishness before people in the world, but this too is in line with the will of God, so that faith in His gospel is not according to human wisdom and strategies. If what the gospel offers, having as reference the Christ who was crucified, already seems crazy to people in the world, would it not also be so concerning the simple and direct way by which God chose to proclaim it? 1 Corinthians 1:23. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. The offer of the gospel of God through preaching is, in fact, a weak path in the eyes of the natural man, but it is also for this reason that God chose it. God chose the foolishness of the way of preaching the gospel to spread what for many seems to be the foolishness of salvation in Christ. And this, to show that even though He works through paths considered crazy and weak among human beings, His sovereignty is always stronger and wiser than any human wisdom or natural strength. God chose the seeming weakness of preaching to show that it is not in the power of the sublime words of people in the world that there is salvation, but that it is in the only begotten Son of God who was presented to the world to be the Almighty Savior of all those who believe in Him and receive Him as Lord in their hearts. 1 Corinthians 2:1-2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. 1 Corinthians 1:25, 21, and 24. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For after that in the wisdom of God the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, we preach, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God.